This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good afternoon, Melbourne. This is The Escape Hour. My name is Russ Masterton. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous sunny afternoon here in Melbourne after the, indifferent weather we've had this week.
It's sort of like cloudy, sunny, rainy, cloudy.
Well, the future forecast for next week is spring.
Okay.
So, going to see some
nice weather.
But not
until Thursday.
Weather. Oh, is it really that long away?
Yeah. But
can I just make one statement about spring? Like, in the Northern Hemisphere in the US, spring starts on the solstice, so it's the 21st of September. I think we're starting a bit early in Australia, saying it's the 1st of September. We're not quite ready for it yet.
Now, it's interesting, in the Southern Hemisphere, where my partner's from Argentina, and he says exactly the same
thing.
Spring doesn't start until the solstice, which is the 21st of September. So it's probably just us weirdos from down under that, we get so depressed over winter that we want it to start right on the knock of the first. Yes.
Well, look, it's a bit generalist. I mean, there are parts of for example, Sydney had a 32-degree day the other day.
Yeah, that's true.
And then it was 18 degrees the next day. Yeah. So, I think that spring, of course, we know it doesn't start on the 1st of September in the same way that summer doesn't actually really get started till, February.
In Melbourne, correct.
So, it's all a bit subjective.
True.
Well, we ramble here, but we haven't introduced ourselves. So, as I said, my name's Russ. Across the bench, I've got macho man Ted Lombardi. Mm. How are you, Mr. Lombardi?
Lombardo.
Jeez, every week it's the same thing.
You get a big flashcard.
I think you need to.
How are you?
I'm well.
Feeling so good today, are you?
No, I've got the man lurgy, the man flu. So I've taken so much Sudafed and I was going to say Ford pills then, but those were in the days when I was worried about my weight size.
Is it safe to say you're amped up today?
I'm totally amped up today. I'm just trying to sit here with my hands crossed and sit still for 5 minutes.
We're going to send him out and make him jog around the studio.
Yeah, exactly. I know, just to calm down a little bit.
Yeah, it's all good.
No coffee for you.
No coffee.
Right.
You were missing in action last week for a very good reason.
I did. I moved into my new apartment, which is amazing.
Now, where do you live now?
I was told it's called the Forest Hill section of South Yarra.
I don't know. Forest Hills is out in the suburbs. There's a Forest Hills out in Doncaster or Blackburn.
Somebody said that to me the other day. I'm like, well, where the hell is that? I've never heard of it. Anyway, South Yarra. So it's been good. So it's been nice to, make a new place home and, have fun and do things that I had sort of stopped doing, cooking now a bit more.
But you won't have to cook in that neighbourhood because, there's a very cool new restaurant if you want to talk a little restaurant gossip.
Gossip up.
Well,
by the way, everybody, that's Fiona Brooke.
That's right. The queen of the restaurant gossip.
You are. What are you wearing today, Fiona, before we go to goss?
I'm wearing a cream wool I won't mention the brand, but very cool Melbourne brand jumper with it's got these lovely silk sleeves.
They are lovely. I can vouch for that.
And I'm looking very Audrey Hepburn. Look like Audrey Hepburn and had short brown hair, but I don't.
Well, so at breakfast at Fiona's today, we'll call it.
Yeah, that's right.
I just want to go shopping at Tiffany's.
Yeah. Oh, how lovely.
Mm. It is. But, just with moving in and all, it's kind of nice to sort of do sort of normal things again. Yesterday with my friend Oscar, who runs his own business called Elite Male Massage, and we made yogurt and did normal things like that,
domestic.
Which is fun. Well, no, but it is. But I sort of stopped doing that for a while just because it was more, just trying to get through the day kind of a thing,
Well, I must talk to you after the show. Massage, it sounds wonderful. I really need that. I'm about to go on holidays at the end of this week, and part of me going on holidays means I'm stressed to the max.
Yes.
And I'd love some tips from anybody out there in Joyland today as to how you get away on a holiday break unstressed. If you've got any tips, please send them through to 0427 JOY949.
Absolutely.
We'd love to hear from you.
I do weird things. I start cleaning the bathtub like the night before I'm leaving. What am I doing?
Do you really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting better now, but it's ridiculous, a level of things that I give myself to do before I get on a plane.
Is that because so when someone comes to rob the house, they see the house is clean? Is that it?
I don't know. I just sort of think maybe it would be nice to come home to a clean bathtub.
That's true.
Not really. It's just as
call
okay.
You crazy.
You crazy gal.
Call it OCD.
No, but there's merit to it. I can understand that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about you. I love it. You know?
But when
you could be very jet-lagged and you think, I just need to sit in a bath for 5 minutes. Yeah?
And if it's dirty, you can't do that.
No, no. My weirdest thing that I do before I go away. I have to make the couch into a bed, and I've got to sleep in the couch with my dog the night before.
Oh, that's all right.
Before I go away.
That's okay. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
My partner won't let the dog in the bed.
Right.
So I have to cuddle up with Gwenny and have one night with her before I go away.
That's nice.
And then the other weird thing I do, which is bloody hopeless, is I pack the morning I'm leaving. I never do it before then.
Really?
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I love packing before I pack, and then I take it all out, and then I pack it again.
Do you?
And then I take it out, and I pack it again. It's actually really good fun, and that helps you get rid of excess items.
Right.
You travel very lightly, don't you?
I do.
I don't.
No, what do you take? Everything bar
steamer
the kitchen
trunks.
Sink?
Yeah, seriously.
Well,
it's bad. I don't know.
We have an interesting conversation with... I'm travelling to Japan very soon with a group of friends.
Yeah.
And we will be celebrating not one but two birthdays while over in Japan. And one of them is a significant birthday, dearest friends. And one of our party believes that has decided to take a number of bottles of wine and champagne from Melbourne to Japan to have, so that we will have lovely wine while we're there, which, while I agree it is nice to have lovely wine and excellent champagne at all times, I'm just not 100% convinced that I'm going to put it in my suitcase because that's like all this extra. Anyway, it's an interesting discussion that we're having.
Right. So are you required to take some of the stash with you?
No.
Or,
okay. No, he's just he's telling us that he will be taking wine.
Oh, let him.
And we should all consider it.
Oh, right.
We
should
consider it as possible. But, of course, no one's obliged. I'm like, just drink sake.
Yeah, exactly.
But you two are the foodies on the show. Doesn't Japan have nice wine and champagne?
Oh, they do. I think
they do.
There's just a premium for it.
It's not cheap, and you would not buy, you know, I mean, they do really funny things. I was in a Japanese restaurant because they do have this serving of sake. I'm not quite sure exactly what it's called, but where they put the glass in the pine box.
Oh.
They put a glass in a pine box, and then they pour the sake, and it overflows. They pour so much into the glass, it overflows into the box.
Right.
And so then when you drink it, there's sake that's in, and so then you drink the leftover. Anyway, so then they were doing this with the champagne flutes. So they put the champagne flute at this bar in the sake pine box and then poured the champagne until it poured over. So it was very hilarious, as you can imagine. That was the last time I was in, I think that was in Osaka.
Sounds like a lot of fun to me.
Well, you know, champagne till it's overflowing.
Yeah.
Well, I had a... you know, I don't drink as much as I used to. So I had
is that the problem? You stressed.
That's right. Okay. I need to drink more. Need to drink more. Thank you. Tick. So I was going to Alaska for a holiday one day. And again, I sort of, it was a significant birthday and I'd been out celebrating all night and got up in the morning. I thought, oh my God, I've got to pack. I've got to be at the airport in 2 hours. And, I don't know. I decided the hair of the dog would be a good idea. And,
I think the hair of the dog's always a good idea.
Anyway, I got to Alaska and it was quite cool up in Alaska. Mm. And in fact, it was winter in Alaska because we'd gone to see the polar bears in the Northern Lights. So it was quite spectacular. And I'd pack T-shirts and shorts.
The morning of your flight, is that it?
So there's a travel tip. Don't drink and pack.
No.
No, I agree. Absolutely.
And you say you take trunks with you. What on earth in
trunks,
them?
Yeah. Well, just, I don't know. I just, no matter how hard I try to reduce what I'm bringing, it just doesn't
just
happen.
Pack half. You know, you don't need 10 T-shirts. You really just need 3.
I know, but I don't like doing laundry while I'm away. You know, that's the other issue.
Well, the other trick, of course, which we were talking about the other day, which is take some of your old clothes and leave
them
behind.
Out. Right.
Oh, that's a good idea.
But then you don't look good in them.
You're on Joy 94.9. We're going to a break right now. Our guest is unavailable to come on the show today, so we're going to talk travel tips for an entire hour.
Love your afternoons. Joy 94.9.
So we do have a very good recommendation, and I think everyone should pay attention, because this is what you need to do, according to some listeners. Restful holiday tips. Throw away your phone and iPad. No technology. That is zero technology.
I love it.
Beach, sandy beaches, pool, cocktails, massage, or if that doesn't appeal to you, then Paris first class. Thank you, gentlemen. Ooh. We appreciate those tips.
Paris, the city of love, the city of lights.
Oh, we're going to have a guest from Paris in a couple of shows.
Oh, good. Yes.
Absolutely. Okay.
So today is our travel tip show. This is the Escape Hour on Joy 94.9. We would love to hear from anybody out there who would like to give us our travel tips. Russ here is about to go away on a six-week trip and is stressed to the max, so wanting to take any travel tips. And Fiona, your boyfriend is now not going to Japan.
Well, that's what he's thinking about doing. And so my question is to you, Russ, travel agent, what should he do about his airfare?
Okay, so if he's bought an airfare from a reputable airline, he shouldn't put it in for a discount. Most airlines will allow you to pay a change fee, and the ticket is valid from 12 months from the date of issue.
Can you get a credit?
You can, and that's why the ticket's valid for 12 months. So he can get he'll pay his change fee, and the rest of it's a credit to another trip to somewhere else.
Now, when I actually did this not so long ago on a lesser quality airline, I had to use the entire credit in one foul swoop, so I couldn't actually say I had $500 in credit. I wasn't allowed to say, oh, I'll take a trip to Sydney there, a trip to Brisbane there.
Oh,
I had to actually use it all in one go.
It's always for one other trip.
And that's with the better quality airlines as well?
Absolutely.
Why is that?
It's really just to keep it clean.
Okay.
They don't want to be having to do your paperwork and your banking.
Oh, I get that.
Yeah. All they want to do is, okay, you've got a credit. Okay, well, here's what you're going to use it for, and we're sorry if it's not the same amount as the credit, but end of story.
He can definitely get a credit, but you can't get your money back.
No. It's not worth it. By the time they take out all of the cancellation fees and everything, you're better off keeping it in credit and using it for another trip.
Okay. All right, well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Now, assuming that we do get on the plane, I mean, I know that there's always a lot of questions about whether or not you should drink on the plane.
I say no. You can have a drink, but it just ruins you on the other end, you know, depending on how long the flight is. I think, you know, at the altitude, alcohol can affect you quite diversely, you know, and not in the best way. But
it always makes me cry in the movies. I've had a drink and the movie comes on and I'm sobbing at a movie that I would normally never give a rat's ass for. I've seen The Descendants now 3 times.
Oh, does that make you cry?
It makes me cry every time in the same spot.
Is it where the mother dies or...?
Certainly when she dies, definitely. Yeah, that is one of my favourite airline tips for you. Watch The Descendants.
Okay.
You know what I can't handle at airports? What's that? The hysteria when someone else is crying saying goodbye to their partner. I
let it go.
I just want to go up and wrap my arms around them and cry with them.
I just want to go up and kick them or something.
I could do that. Oh, get over it. You'll meet somebody else.
Oh, come on.
There was in one of our newspapers recently the 40 travel tips, which was really fantastic. And one of the travel tips was, you think you're going to contact the people that you meet on these travels, but chances are you actually never will. So don't really bother trying. You're exchanging phone numbers and emails and like, yes, I promise when I come to Britain again, I'll see you definitely. And you know what? The travel tip was don't bother because you won't.
So it's just as easy to say to somebody, nice meeting you and enjoy the rest of your life.
Have a good life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm of the school where I like to arrive at the airport relatively early, okay? And I have to be super-duper nice to the check-in person. I have to ask them if they're having a busy day. I have to say, oh, you're doing, you know, thank you for doing such a great job and da-da-da-da. The reason being is that I used to work for an airline and many moons ago, and I had someone that was so rude to me, that I thought, right, okay, I was working for a domestic airline and this person was going to Brisbane.
Right.
And I thought, no, I'm not having this. So I went over to Qantas and I got a ticket for Zimbabwe and I shoved the ticket on their luggage And their bag went to Zimbabwe and they went to Brisbane and I said, good luck to you.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
They have all power, these people.
Well, this is it. And, yeah. And I'm very nice to them as well, because when I ask for a free upgrade, you're in a better position.
I never ask for a free upgrade.
Why not? Should.
No, because they just don't give it to you. I look really professional and nice and they still don't give it to me.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They're like, that'll be $465, thanks.
You're upgradable.
No, but just say you're having a bad day. I'm really having a bad day.
Oh, yeah.
Can I have a row? What about a row? Do you ask for a row? Ever ask for a row?
Always.
No, I never ask for a row.
Always. No, you should. You should always ask for, is there a row? Or a classic tip would be you get up there mm-hmm. and if you think, all right, I'm not going to ask for the business class upgrade, it's not going to happen to me, but you should say with confidence, is the plane full? And if they say, no, it's very quiet today, you say, would you mind blocking off the seat next to me? And if they can do it, they'll do it.
Yeah, they will. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Block away.
I mean, I'm always nice to them anyway because, like, I mean, it's way nicer to be nice than be mean.
Yeah. Well, I just, I know that you can be sat next to kids. Mm-hmm. They've got the power to sit you next to kids. Notes in your bookings about, rude person. Mm-hmm. Don't look after them on board the flight. I mean, it's...
Really?
Oh, yeah. They have all power.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. A friend of mine ordered so many glasses of wine that she drank the plane, like, pretty much. Well, really? She didn't drink the plane dry, but they ended up saying that they'd run out of champagne and then they had run out of wine and then they ended up just giving her straight scotch, hoping that she would shut up.
Hoping she would pass out.
Pass out.
Did she?
She eventually did get the hint that they really didn't want. I mean, she wasn't being drunk and disorderly at all. No, she was just having a good time.
She could just hold her own with it. Is that it?
Yeah. She was just, like, getting on that holiday straight away.
Oh, good, I know.
Well, why not?
Have you ever got drunk on a flight?
Never.
No, good. Yeah.
Well, I think I probably have, but I haven't been disorderly.
No.
I just cried.
Yeah.
I just had it.
You just cried, yeah.
I was on United Airlines once, and a great airline, and we...
we were on there once, and it was a great airline.
Oh, their big hair. You know their big hair that old American flight attendants have. Yeah. And their attitude with Aussies, because in those days you used to fly from Melbourne to Auckland, the ditch, and then you go on to the United States. Mm-hmm. And so for that first sector, because they wanted all the Australians to pass out on the second sector, all they would do is they would come around to your tray and they would say, what are you drinking today? And say you were on vodka or whatever, they would put 10 bottles on your tray and leave you to it.
Saves their work.
Yeah, so I was, we got to Auckland and I was pretty merry. Mm-hmm. And anyway... I got back on and a new crew had started and, I was probably, I was happy. And so
you were warmed up.
Yeah. I asked for a drink and then this big booming voice says, you're only getting one on this leg. I'm going to cut you off after this one. And I thought, she wasn't very nice. No,
but some of the flight have to put up with a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people complain about flight attendants and... Like, honestly, it's a big babysitting job.
Well, I know a friend of mine used to be a flight attendant, and he said that, you'd have to, people would do stuff that they just don't normally do at home. So there would be filthy nappies left in the seat pocket.
That's gross.
Mm. And they would have to come and clean this out. Yeah. Or people just say things that they don't normally say to you.
Yeah,
and
he just rude.
Yeah. Similarly, again, you're always nice to your flight attendants.
Well, because why wouldn't you be? I
mean, and also because, they don't get paid an enormous amount of money.
Not anymore, they don't. No.
A friend of mine works for JetBlue in the United States, and he really, when I discovered how little money he made, mm-hmm. I was not surprised when he and his partner qualified for low-income housing in New York City.
Yeah.
Mm. I was like, but surely... No, as a matter of fact, they don't. Yeah. And then, of course, you've got some of the airlines, Australian airlines, which are getting more and more of the on-flight staff from other countries.
Yes, that's
they're
right.
using, from all
hubs.
Those fabulous hubs in Indonesia and things like that. And they're paid, a third.
That's what they do with this, because the base cost is less in those countries, and that's how they kind of get around it.
Well, you can make it work. I found out how you can make it work to your advantage. So if it's a large male crew with the tendency of being homosexual, what I tend to do is that I always pack Armistead Maupin's Tales of the City in my bag.
Just in case there's a question about that. Okay.
And so then I'll sit there with that page wide open and then for some weird reason the drinks just keep coming, you know, with that knowing look.
Golden tips, you've heard them here.
That's right. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Have you, what do you think of food on flights? Do you pack your own food or are you?
No, I don't pack my own food. I do think that's a good idea, but I don't because I can't fit it all with the hand, with all the books and the, you know, the stuff that you're carrying. I can't imagine taking on food as well. I eat it even when it's terrible because it fills in time. And also, as a vegetarian, usually the food is even worse. I'm sure that you've probably noticed that, Russ.
Yes.
Yep. I order the vegetarian food and it's...
Cardboard
stodge. And then I get really jealous when everyone else is eating something else around me that looks good. And the other thing too is they give you, when you order vegetarian food, they also think you're on a diet. So everyone else is getting chocolate cake and you're getting a cardboard rice cracker. And I'm like, I never said I was on a diet just because I don't eat meat. Or I'm a health fanatic.
But don't you think the food has improved maybe just a little bit over the last period of time? Yep. You know, it has improved. Like, I remember flying as a kid and it was just... You know what I mean? But at least nowadays, you know, there's a bit that part of competition where, you know, different airlines try to, you know, make it a little bit better. At least it looks that way. I mean, there's still their costs that they have to take into consideration.
I did have the rare pleasure of actually flying business class on Thai Airways. No, it wasn't. I tell a lie, Garuda.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're very good now.
Someone bought the ticket for me because we couldn't get on our flight from the other airline because of the... ash.
Oh, yeah.
We're coming back from Bali. And so she said, I'm going to buy this. And I was like, I can't afford that. She said, I'll buy it for you. Anyway, oh my goodness. Not only did we get really beautiful French champagne as we walked in the door, but we could pick from a variety of different cuisines. And I picked Japanese, of course, because I love Japanese food. And then the chef came out and actually personally handed it to me and said, I hope you enjoy this. Yeah. And it was marvelous. It was an overnight flight, though, so I couldn't sit up and drink champagne all night. I had to fall asleep.
But you wanted to.
But it was a completely laid down bed.
They're nice.
It was wow.
Yeah. Makes a difference, believe it or not.
You couldn't eat and drink all night. You had to have time to cry.
Yeah.
I was at work.
I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped.
There are lots of reasons why you may have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They'll work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or head to the iTunes Australia podcast store and subscribe to your favourite shows for free. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again. joy.org.au.
Welcome back to the Escape Hour. I'm Tad with Russ and Fiona. We're talking travel tips today, and we've got another question that's come through the SMS line. I'll read that out. Basically, can you please advise recommendations and tips for disability travel on airlines? Is there a process that one should follow when booking flights or advising airlines of your requirements? Russ?
I think every airline does have a different requirement. Yeah. These days, unfortunately, people that didn't have a genuine disability have rung airlines and just say, I need a wheelchair, and they don't. They think, oh, you know, I'm going to get on the plane first, I'm going to get off the plane first, and, you know, if I, you know, make myself bigger than Ben-Hur, it's all going to happen for me. So generally speaking, these days, airlines require a medical certificate to prove that you've got a genuine disability. And then other things that they may ask for is, you know, is the wheelchair collapsible? Can you take it on board? If you can't take it on board, you know, how many... is anyone travelling with you that can assist? If you're travelling by yourself, you know, we need to have... one person or two people meet you at the counter to take you down to the flight. So there's a lot of things that they take into consideration. I guess the best things that you can do is, one, be 100% honest, because it's only going to affect your comfort. Get the doctor's certificate And there are services. Airlines are money-making businesses these days, so there are services that they offer. So, for example, if you want to have somebody meet you at the check-in counter, you can pay for that service with some airlines. It'll be soon to happen to all airlines.
Do they really charge for that?
They do. Right. Yeah. Okay. So it's the reason being is the planes have got so big. Mm. I mean, if you're looking at those A380s that take 400 to 500 people, it's virtually impossible with the minimum staff that they use to check people in. And so we're going to see, again, users pay system with absolutely everything that we have in industry these days, that if you want something, you pay for it and it's all yours. But but certainly book early and get that doctor certificate in and... just do everything that the airline says, and you won't have any problems. Yeah. They will make sure that they've got staff there to assist you if you tell them. It's the people that just turn up at the airport with a wheelchair and just say, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" are the ones that have a really hard trot.
Yeah,
which is absolutely tough stuff. So this is our travel tip show. If you would like to send in a message, you can do so by calling us or. The phone number to call is 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949. And you can email, can't you, Fee?
Yes, onair@joy.org.au.
And Tad, what about a bit of an SMS? What if they want to SMS
if you want to SMS, you can SMS us on 0427-JOY-949.
How exciting.
Very exciting.
Listen, Tad, what do you do to get over the jet lurgy?
What I do and is basically, depending on where you're going, first of all, try to stay up as long as you can.
Right.
So stay up till 9 or 10 o'clock at night, even though you're probably exhausted completely, and then go to bed and then try to sleep through the night if you can. Yeah. But staying up all day helps you sort of regulate that. One of the things I also try to do too is get to a gym or do some form of exercise as well, because that kind of helps that synchronization.
I've heard about that. Yeah. So I've got a few friends that highly recommend that when you get to the destination, do some exercise.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it could just be a long walk, because it doesn't have to be a full-on, weightlifting exercise sort of thing. But that and trying to stay up for as long as you can and just keep moving to help do that, I think that makes a big difference. At least that works for me.
It's all about getting on local time, isn't it?
Definitely.
Well, some people start the preparation a long way in advance. Like days before they leave, they start the... Now, I don't know exactly how they do that, but they start trying to operate on the time zone somewhat of where they're going so that their body is a little bit more in sync.
Yeah.
The other good trick is melatonin.
Yeah, that's sort of the supplement
thing. Yeah. I suffer... I'm good going to a destination. I tend to be able to click over to the time zone straight away using your trick, which is stay awake as long as possible. Coming home is a disaster for me.
I'm the same way.
I don't know why.
And depending on which direction, it should be the opposite. Like, I don't know why. But I also find, too, like for me, I have a more difficult time if I'm going to New Zealand or Perth than I do going to New York and back.
Really?
I find that time, that three-hour time change messes up.
I remember I had to go to Perth for a party once, work party, and I flew in, did the party, stayed one night.
Yeah.
And then flew out and I didn't get enough sleep on the night of the party, and then the next day I had to fly. I was shattered for a week.
Yeah. It's true, and it's jet lag is what it is, seriously. You don't think it would be, but it does affect you. And again, I think also making sure you're hydrated, after, before, during and after. I think that makes a bit of a difference too in helping your body acclimate to everything.
What do we all think about travel insurance?
I wouldn't go without it.
Mm-hmm. Well, for many, many years, I never had travel insurance. I just never bothered. I was like, I don't need it. I'm not taking anything precious. Nothing's going to happen to me. I'm invincible.
Mm.
And then one day I went, well, I'm a little bit older now, and really it's only $100 and something. And I decided, so now I do take it all the time.
I years ago, was traveling with an auntie of mine, and she had just retired, and we were doing a cruise, and she didn't want to do the insurance, and I basically said, I'm not going unless we have the insurance. She sadly fell down a flight of stairs on a cruise ship, tore the ligaments in both her knees, had to be literally flown from an island in the Bahamas, Eleuthera, back to Miami on a private jet, where she was for 8 weeks for surgery, and then had to be flown with a medical team from Miami back to New York again on a private jet. She was, out for a very long time, in recovery, but that was all covered under the insurance policy.
And I bet it was over $100,000.
It was probably more like $250,000 when you're talking about the flights and all the medical teams and all that. Yeah, it was. And so, you know, a lot of people think, oh, it's never going to, you know, happen to me. It can happen to you. One thing you do need to understand, though, is if it's an act of terrorism, unfortunately, there's always that clause in pretty much all insurance policies that the insurance company can say, well, we're not covering that because that was due to an act of terrorism. Mm. But after the fact, you can put pressure on.
Well, you
companies.
Do need to read the insurance clauses.
Yes.
Because recently there was an article about seniors who were not aware of the fact that they were not correctly covered, that there were age clauses in the insurance, and they did not know until, of course, they went to claim. So, yes, buy from a reputable insurance company or ask your travel agent.
Look, I'm 100% all for travel insurance. I think it's a necessary, and I wouldn't even call it an evil. It's just something that you must have. You insure your house, you insure your car. Why wouldn't you insure your travel? The interesting thing that, and I'm sure a lot of people know this, is that your credit cards come with free travel insurance these days. And
but not all credit cards, surely, isn't it? Only your sort of upper-level cards.
Yeah, it's premium credit cards, and you just need to check with your bank. I mean, if for example, if it costs you $20 a year to have this credit card that has free travel insurance on it, well, then, you know, it's worth it.
Yeah.
In my travel agency, we would have 50% of our travellers use the credit card travel insurance and 50% still buy.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with the credit card travel insurance. So what you really generally need to do is you've got to go to your bank. You need to find out how you would activate the travel insurance while you were overseas in case there's an emergency.
Yeah.
And then you have to get a copy of the policy to make sure you're covered for 100% medical and 100% cancellation fees. Mm-hmm. So if you're covered by all of those and they give you an emergency contact phone number while you're away, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that travel insurance.
Oh, that is a great tip.
Yeah,
well, also, you can only get travel insurance with that card if you paid for the flight using that
card. Yeah.
Every bank's different. So some, I know I better not say, we're not allowed to. One of the banks, pull myself up here.
You
starts with A.
with A. they only need you to put $250 on your credit card, and that activates the travel insurance. Others want you to pay for your flight only.
Right.
Others want you to pay for a hotel night. It varies from bank to bank.
Oh.
Well, the other thing with the insurance too is a lot of times if it is through a card system, like if you're hiring a car, you don't have to get the excess, you know, the additional insurance to reduce your excess. A lot of the times that's automatically done.
Okay.
But again, you just need to know what the policy covers. And,
that's right.
And be aware of that.
Well, I would love to talk about those global cash cards. The benefits or the pluses and the minuses.
Yep.
And unfortunately, I don't have any answers on that particular area. Russ, what do you know about those travel cards where you put money on them and supposedly save money?
Where's
the big question?
I'm not I don't have much to say about those. I prefer to use my credit card. Mm. So all I do is I slam all my funds onto the credit card. Mm. I make sure I've got two credit cards with me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about using the credit card is that I can go to any bank and use the ATM and away I go. So I never carry much cash with me.
Mm.
I only withdraw a few hundred dollars in whatever currency it is for me to get through 3 or 4 days, and then I just go back to the bank again. Look, on a long trip, I'm going on a 6-week holiday. I think the fees I'll pay will be $100, but for the sake of not having big wads of cash on me, I don't know the benefits of the travel card. So hopefully, someone will message us in. Oh, you have?
I actually think they're great because from the point of view that you can actually start loading up the card in the currencies that you're going to need.
Can do
so
that.
Like, for example, if it's US dollar, if I know the US dollar versus the Australian dollar is at a high rate,
excellent.
And I know I'm going to America and I've got a bit of extra money that I can put onto that, well, I'll buy it when it's good to do that.
And you can do that at any time is what you're
anytime,
saying.
Like, yeah,
I think
that stays on
last
the
week the dollar was 81 cents or something,
exactly.
And so you could have bought whatever you
exactly.
like then.
And
yeah.
then if when it drops, you know, you still end up more. But you can also do that with the different currencies. And then again, I can't mention the card I'm using, but it's a very good one where it automatically will use that currency in that country that you have. So you don't have to, it's very kind of idiot-proof from that point of view.
Okay, idiot-proof sounds good.
Yeah,
I might talk to you about that after the show.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you, is it a Visa or a MasterCard as well?
It is, yeah.
Okay. You can just go to any bank with a PIN number and take it out?
Absolutely.
Wow.
And the fees are quite a bit lower as well. Because I find with using the credit card, you know, you end up having the fee at the ATM, then there's the conversion factor, and all these fees at the end of the time. And I've actually over time realized that using one of those other, cash cards is actually cheaper from that point of view to do that. So
It's, and you can buy them. Look, I know you can buy them at the post office. Yeah. I know you can buy them from any bank. And
a lot of the airlines have issued their own. And you can actually get frequent flyer points for money you're spending on those as well, which is good. So that's that bonus as well, too. Yeah, so, I mean, it's just being comfortable with using it in a different way. And it's still like it's a debit card, basically, that you're using, that you're loading up. And you have more control over the spending because you know what your currency is. The rate is what you paid for it, as opposed to it fluctuating, and it just gives you more control over what you're doing. I think I still open credit cards with me, but the main mode of sourcing of cash is for me when I travel is the cash card.
And I think that and you've just nailed it on the head there. Don't go with just one form of money.
No, that's right.
An absolute disaster. Yeah. It can ruin your holiday. I mean, what are you going to do if a ATM accidentally gobbles up your credit card?
You're in trouble. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Because remember the days of the old travel checks?
You know,
the travel checks.
Hilarious. Like God, how archaic is that? And apparently, like, you can still use them in some place, or you can still have them issued. Yep. But there's Who would use them these days? I don't know.
No, it's a waste
what
of paper.
What I love about it, I just wanted to go back to the travel insurance thing before, and sorry to go back to that, but the one thing that people often forget while they're traveling is that they might lose a laptop or they might, you know, they might fall over and they need to go to an emergency room and get their knee wrapped up or something like that. You have to activate your insurance policy on the day it happens. Right. Now, if you wait till you get home and have all of this done, the chances are they're not going to pass your policy through. So the reason they have an emergency number for you to use is for you to activate the policy. You're making them aware that this has happened to you, and they will advise you what paperwork they need so you can make your claim.
And a lot of times they'll actually help you as well, depending on which policy you have and who it's with. They can, you know, if you don't have a list of doctors nearby, they can actually advise you, okay, there's a specific clinic or hospital or whatever to go to, they'll assist you in that as well if you don't know what to do.
So make that call as soon as it happens.
Yeah, don't wait. It's not worth it. Look, insurance companies are like any other business. Their game is to, if they don't have to pay out, they won't pay out.
No.
So it's important for you to have done your homework first, understand what's in the policy, and then ring them and make sure that they're clear on everything that's going on.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to the Escape Hour. I'm Tad, and in the studio today is Russell.
Hello, Tad.
And Fiona, and she's just taking a short break.
We're having a great show today, isn't it? Talking about travel tips.
Lots of travel tips. We've got another couple of messages that have come through, and actually some tips from Peter, who worked for many years at the Danish consulate in Sydney. He's got a few suggestions. Number one, always pack an emergency credit card in separate part of your luggage.
Good idea.
Yeah. Always take out travel insurance and read the fine print. Credit card insurance can be good, but usually won't cover skiing accidents or terrorist events. Always make sure you have at least 6 months left on your passport before that expires. Just to make sure you're prepared so that you don't fall apart if something goes wrong.
Fantastic advice. Thank you, Peter. That's really great because, you know, there's a lot of other things that you can consider doing, which is, you know, take photocopies of your passport.
Absolutely.
The face page, you should always do that as well.
I've never done that.
Really?
The millennials actually put it in the cloud somewhere. I don't know enough about that, but they apparently you can check into any computer and pull them out of the cloud, but I don't know. We'd have to ask our techie show about that.
Yeah, but the reason for doing that is that so that if you do lose your passport or if it's stolen, you can go to the consulate, and it's just apparently much easier if you've got a copy of it to prove who you are, and then instead of them having to go through that process again of verifying your identity, and then they can get the process rolling to get you a temporary one so that you can get back into the country.
And that info about the 6 months on the passport is something that I've... I could be wrong here, and certainly one of the listeners or you two could let me know. Yeah. It's actually a prereq for our country. Most countries around the world have this prereq, and the reason our government insists on it is because if you are in a terrible accident and you have to spend months in another country because of that, well, then the last thing on your mind is getting your passport passport renewed. So you'll find that if you've got under 6 months on your passport, you won't get through immigration here. They won't let you leave our country.
Yeah.
So you've really got to watch that one.
Well, I had a friend who had an interesting experience with that very subject. Mm-hmm. We were on our way to Indonesia. And, you know, three or four of us rocked up to the airport and we all checked in. And then she was the last person to check in and she didn't have 6 months.
Right.
and she apparently had spoken to the airline the day before and said, I haven't got 6 months, and they said it was fine. They gave her incorrect information, right. But of course at the check-in they were like, absolutely not, you're just going to have to come back, buy another ticket and come back tomorrow. But because she said that she'd rung the airline the day before and that she'd been given the wrong information, they were actually good enough to get her on the next flight the next day so that she could go back into the city. She got a renewal, very quick renewal, right, on her passport, and then they put her, actually upgraded her to say sorry for giving her the wrong information.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah, it is always that panic. I have the most hilarious moment every time I'm, you know, the day before I fly, I'm like, passport, where's the passport?
I've done the, we're about to walk out the door in an hour to go to the airport, and my passport has slipped behind the couch.
Oh, that's a good one.
And, you know, and I've been too scared to tell the boyfriend that I've lost my passport. So he's, you know, all excited and getting ready to go, and I'm sitting there going, I can't believe I've done this. I can't believe I haven't got a passport.
I can't believe you've done that too.
I was thinking I can't tell him. And so, you know, he's in the shower getting ready, and I'm in the lounge room, and the lounge room's completely destroyed looking for a passport.
I have an interesting passport story. When I was living in the US, I had was travelling back to Australia, and I went in the morning of the flight to get my passport organised, or to find it, let's just say,
okay,
get it and put it in the bag.
Yep.
And then I looked and it wasn't there, and then I looked and it wasn't there, and then I looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and started screaming and I didn't have a passport. And I was in a mad panic, and then I realised that my immigration lawyer, because I was in the process of getting papers,
yep,
she had the passport and I'd forgotten that she had it. I was like, oh, my God, that's fine. Look, she's just got an office on Madison Avenue. It's fine. I'll just, you know, I've got their afternoon. It's not, I don't have to leave yet. So I ring her up. Oh, my God, I've got to come down, you know, and her office was, you know, just a few stops, yeah, on the subway. She said, oh, no, I'm in my Connecticut office today.
Oh,
my God. And it was a snowstorm. And I ran to the station and jumped on a train. Unfortunately, Greenwich, Connecticut is only a couple of stops from New York City.
Yeah.
Ran to her office through the snow, and it was a feat, I have to say. And then, of course, because of all the snowstorms, the flights were delayed. But anyway.
Lucky.
That was probably my worst passport story.
That's
a good story.
Yeah, that was pretty dodgy one.
One of my weirdest travelled stories, I reckon, would be travelling with an airline, yep, first class, and they had this massive trolley in the first class cabin, which was full of Verve and all of these,
right,
nice things that you would drink. Anyway, we were coming into land at Heathrow, and I'd sort of had this moment where I sort of thought, you know, I'd just like one more sip of that, you know, in case we have a bumpy landing.
Yeah.
I just, well, you know, I could, I'm standing at the trolley and fixing myself a nice little cocktail and getting right into it and having a sip of it, and, you know, I can hear this flight. You know, I told you to sit down. Ooh. And so then I then jump from where I'm standing into my seat, and I break the seat.
Really?
Oh,
broke,
God,
the seat. So, and the plane was absolutely chockers. So,
what'd you do?
I had to land lying down.
Oh, my.
So,
I'm surprised they didn't put you in the jump seat or something.
No, that was full as well.
Oh,
so,
right,
here I am in this plane. I'm strapped in. I'm lying flat on my back with this little head coming up every 2 minutes. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? That was terrible.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I know. What's your weirdest travel experience?
I don't really have one. Like, I always try to make sure that I'm very well prepared.
I bet, and you have such smooth travels.
I do. Like, the only
engineer in you.
It is, because, you know, everything has to be perfect.
You need to book it. You need to plan my next trip.
I will. It'll be like military precision, let me tell you. And the only thing I don't like, it probably doesn't happen so much anymore, but some hotels in certain countries make you surrender your passport.
Oh, I'm never very comfortable with that.
I don't like that. No. I don't want my passport out of my sight.
Mm. Well, when you enter a place like the United Arab Emirates,
yeah,
you've got to give your passport up when you get to the airport.
Yeah.
Same with Egypt. Any of those Middle Eastern countries are a bit like that, yeah.
I mean, what if you have to get out in a hurry?
So we have had some other fantastic feedback from listeners. We have a phone message here.
Oh, good.
Peter rang to say, it's always, speaking of good relationships, not only with the check-in staff, but with your bank when you travel, as they could be amazing support if you lose your card or things go wrong financially.
That's a good point.
Thanks, Clayton, at the front desk for telling us that is fantastic.
I do, and that makes a lot of sense. It's always a good idea to ring your bank the day before you're going away to let them know you're going overseas, because then if they all of a sudden see all these mystery things coming on your credit card, they can cancel the credit card.
I think they're doing the right thing by you.
Yeah, I have too. Yeah. Just even if it's a situation in Australia and there's been a couple of charges that look unusual, they'll put a hold on your card and then they'll ring you and see, oh, did you make those charges or not? But which is a good thing. But if you're overseas and you don't have access to, you know, phones or things like that, you know, you can be in a bit of a
tizz. So, yes, definitely tell your bank in advance.
Love your afternoons. Joy 94.9.
We are on the Escape Hour Travel Tips Show. This has been really fun for us.
This has been a lot of fun.
Because we've had lots of people send us messages, and that's really lovely. Thank you, everyone. So we are coming to the end of the show. Next week we have some other exciting people coming on to tell us about their recent travel, so we'll get some tips from them about where they have been. So I guess the final question is, from a listener, do you fold or do you roll?
I do both.
Do you?
I do.
You're one of those. Yeah. You're one of those. Yeah.
Swing both ways.
Not quite. But.
Maybe many years ago. No.
No.
No, you've never swung both ways. Okay. What are you, a roller or
a swinger?
Or a swinger.
I'm a roller and I'm a swinger. I roll underneath and I fold certain items on top.
Yes, right. You swing too, yeah.
Yeah. A bit of a swinger as well. Yeah. I just throw it all in there and hope for the best.
And hope you packed a jumper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, when you're going to Alaska of all places.
Of course, yeah.
We will be back next week.
We will.
Who have we got on next week, V?
Well, actually, a friend of mine has just returned from travelling down the Nile in Egypt. And
it's
I think...
Oh, I love Egypt.
The Nile is not just a river, that's it.
Agatha Christie.
Yeah, that should be good.
That sounds fantastic. We better go.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.